In our second reading, Paul does not tell us exactly what the thorn in his flesh is. The thorn might be his poor eyesight that we learn from other of his letters. His thorn might be a chronic illness. Or it could be a person or people who opposed and undermined his ministry, who were a source of accusation and agitation. Whatever the thorn is, Paul prays to God to remove it from him three times. Like we often do, Paul prays again and again for this prayer. And also like us, we may not always get the answer that we're looking for, but we get the answer that we need. Jesus' answer to Paul's prayer is these words: "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect or complete in weakness." Paul says that because of this power and weakness that he experienced, he has now found peace and contentment, even in the midst of difficulty, whatever that might be. Because he says, "Whenever I am weak, then I am strong," he says. This grace-filled understanding of life is only possible because Paul first takes a hard look at himself. He understands that he can often be his own worst enemy. He knows his own limitations. He acknowledges his need for God's help and for God's mercy. And really, if you think about it, it's an amazing, vulnerable moment that Paul has with us in this reading, sharing his struggle with pride and becoming too elated about himself, even letting the people in Corinth know about this. And so in order to keep him from being too full of himself, God allows this splinter in his life to pierce him, to annoy him, and to be a burden to him, to get, as it were, under his skin. Jesus encourages Paul to understand this wound that he suffered, this agitation, to actually have a greater purpose in his life. This thorny reminder is of his pride, but also of his weakness. And it's now become a blessing. He has nowhere else to turn but to Christ. Humble reliance upon him and his strength. To know that Jesus always provides sufficient grace for Paul and sufficient power through his weakness, this counterintuitive way of God working. Paul clearly wants us to hear this, to make the same application to our lives, to ask ourselves, what are the thorns in your flesh and in mine? And he names a few of those possibilities at the end of his letter. Weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Paul says he's content in the midst of all of them because of the assurance of God's grace and Christ's presence in his life. Paul wants you and me to have that same blessed assurance in our lives, in the midst of our calamities and weaknesses and thorns. What is the thorn in your flesh this morning? I'm going to take a moment and just think about what the thorn in my flesh is. I invite you to do the same. Have you prayed about this sticky, spiny, annoying thing in your flesh? Do you long for this thing to be removed that's gotten underneath your skin, proverbially or literally? Scripture encourages us to pray likewise. In fact, Peter says to cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. It's a courageous and vulnerable thing to do. But have you and I also considered how our pride, how ourselves, how we can be our own worst enemy too? That God wants us to get out of our own way of what God wants to do in our lives. I love what Proverbs chapter 3 says about this and about pride specifically. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Revere the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. These are great antidotes to what God wants to do with our thorny sides. In our scripture today, Paul gives us three antidotes too for this thorn. First, there are some things in our lives that we will not ever understand. Remember, Paul said, "I don't know. God only knows." Secondly, God is more on our side than we are sometimes on our own sides. And thirdly, God wants to use everything in our lives. Everything. The good, the bad, the thorny, the soft, the comfortable, the annoying. He wants to use it all to mold and to shape us into the people of God that he wants us to be. Humble, reliant upon him. The truth is that we are all weak and needy, just like Paul says of himself. You and I, we're God's work in progress. We all need mercy and grace from our Heavenly Father, who seeks to give it to us through and in spite of these thorns. Jesus assures us that he is there even when you and I cannot remove those pesky splinters in our flesh. The thorns are there to remind us that there will always be trouble in the world. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual principalities of darkness. But much more than that, we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. My grace, he says, is sufficient for you. God will never abandon us as orphans. His power, he says, my power is made perfect and whole in your weakness, he says to us. And so Paul embraces, he says, welcome weakness. Welcome inability to solve my own problems and remove my own thorns, because it teaches him and it welcomes God's wisdom and God's strength and power to work in those visible and invisible places of his life. It's wisdom to acknowledge that we cannot fight the battle by our own strength. And it's wisdom to have contentment in all circumstances and to accept the things the way they are, because we know that even if they remain the way they are, God has promised to work in us and through us. I love what the 13th century Persian poet Rumi says. He says, the wound is the place light comes in. The wound is the place where light comes in. The thorn in Paul's flesh is the wound where the light of his grace and his strength comes into Paul's life. What a powerful way to look at our wounds and the things that annoy us and plague us. Those things that have gotten underneath our proverbial and literal skin. God wants to use it to bless us and to bless others. God wants to use it to bring us into his light, the light of forgiveness, the light of his love, the light of his forgiveness and power. It's both humbling and empowering, but it's also assuring, isn't it, that we have everything we need for this life and for godliness. Just as Jesus wants to use the thorn in our sides for our good, so God uses the thorns in Christ's sides, in his side, to do good. He is as willing and was as willing to let those thorns be used for our good as he calls us to use those thorns for our good. Remember, his brow, his head, was not just pierced with a thorn, but a crown of thorns. His side was pierced with a spear. His hands and his feet were pierced with nails for our good, so that we would have his grace, and so that we would have his power at work in our lives. That's where the light came in to Christ and out into the world and into our lives. Those wounds are the place where the light comes in. That light that is always there to conquer the darkness. The light of him who conquered evil, all our sin, and even death itself. That grace is sufficient for you and for me. That power is at our fingertips from the one who is the victor of all. And he will raise us up on eagle's wings, bear us on the breath of dawn, make us to shine like the sun, and hold us in the palm of his hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.